Thank you, Bell Choir. Beautiful, beautiful job. They blessed us already this morning one time earlier in our early service. We have a service at 8:30 every Sunday morning and then this 11 a.m. service. I would like to encourage one more time families with children and youth to talk to Mackenzie and Zachary in the parish house about this coming summer youth and children camps at the Aldersgate. Wonderful place. Lots of blessings being sent out through children and families from that place. So, and yes, we would like to help you out if that's the question. So we would like to help you financially to send children to receive the blessings out there on that camp. Sermon title this morning, Shepherd's Voice and Shepherd's Heart. And we are talking about Jesus. And this Sunday is called a Shepherd Sunday as well, as it is the fourth Sunday of Easter. Namely, when you think about this reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, first 10 verses, it presents Jesus as both the true shepherd and then the gate. The shepherd and the gate, offering protection and abundance life. We talk a little bit more about this abundance life later in this sermon. He calls his sheep by name, which is a big contrast between Jesus and thieves who destroy and kills. What a shepherd we have. Then Jesus is the only way to secure our life in this world. And Jesus is also the only way for salvation, says the reading. And then Jesus serves using this analogy as a gate that keeps sheep safe while leading them to pastors. What a wonderful description, way to describe who Jesus is to us this morning. For you and for me and for us all, Jesus is the good shepherd. You remember King David wrote the Psalm 23 in the Bible, and it might be many of our favorite psalms, among many other good psalms. But I have learned that I use this psalm when I want to bless my soul, my spirit. Or when I struggle, or when I have extra prayers to pray, and I don't seem like I am not finding my way out, I start reading this psalm aloud for me. Mary and Connie, who are in the office during daytime with me, they hear me talking to myself sometimes. I'm sure they've been this close to call help for me a few times. But don't worry, I'm just repeating the Bible. I am saying loud what goes into my heart and goes out from my heart. And many times it's Psalm 23. It may be some other psalms. And this is a good prescription to you if you don't feel that your praying heart is open, your channels are open, like we can be in that situation many times for many reasons. What works every time for me that I start reading psalms aloud for myself. And before too long, I feel that my spirit is joining with God's spirit. And I am praying along with these words that come afar to my life, to my heart. Now this psalm, hundreds of years before Jesus' birth and time, when David started writing down these verses about his shepherd, he was serving in messianic revelation and messianic spirit as these words came to him, confirming him who the Lord is for him. And here is he starting to write down these words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. That's a big statement right in the beginning. Somebody must have experienced the Lord's presence to write down something like this. If you were to ask, who is Lord to me? He's my shepherd. He's my protector. He's my guidance. He's my caregiver. He's everything to me. I have all that I need because of that very reason. Then he goes on by saying, he lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. He's doing this because he's honoring his own name by helping and caring for me. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, coming to you, my friend, some of you, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, right here with me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies, whoever they are, whatever they are. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Hundreds of years before Jesus' time, King David saw Jesus as his good shepherd. So the first thing, based on our readings this morning, Jesus, our Lord, has shepherd's voice. And he has made his voice known. You know who I'm talking about. You have heard his voice through readings, through events, through prayers, through guidance. It goes on and on. You know, you have heard his voice, and you are hearing his voice right now. The sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd. This means they separate his message from that of strangers or thieves who seek to steal or destroy or teach something that is not in line with the Bible, with the Word of God. There is where Good Shepherd is acting as a guide, protector for us. Now, several years ago, back in Louisville, where I was serving as a pastor, senior pastor at the Fern Creek United Methodist Church on Barstown Road, one Sunday morning as we were finishing our second service, a fairly new church member, a lady walked to me, came to me, and he wanted to show me something. It was a piece of paper. It was a piece of paper, and it reads certificate in that paper. I just noticed before she said anything. And she said, Pastor, and she was active. She's been a member maybe a year or so, and just many times attending both of our services. And then she was active in her Sunday school as well. Now, this one Sunday, she wanted to talk to me about something. She said, here is a certificate I just received on mail a couple of days ago. And I noticed there was her name, and then her title was a prophet. A prophet. That was a little different. So she kept on explaining. She said, now, Reverend, once in a while, I've been attending Sunday afternoon, because they have services Sunday afternoon in that one church. I believe, she said, it's Apostolic Church. Now, please understand, I'm not putting down any churches whatsoever. Happened to be the name of that church. And I knew it was a new church fairly close to that community where I served. New church plan, hadn't been there too long time. And this lady told that I've been going there some of her friends go there, and I've been going there. And then one Sunday morning, they introduced their needs, what they were having. And I felt strongly I should try to respond to that need. So I wrote a check, and I put it on the offering plate after service. And I feel that at least I was able to help. Pastor, I'm not saying that I'm going to go there or attending there, but I just was there, and I'm sure they were very, very happy that I was there, and I've been there a few times and so forth. They have sent letters to my home and all that. About this recognition, she said, I was awarded because I wrote a $1,000 check for the church. And they recognized me as I was acting in prophetic spirit for the church. Now she said, all the leaders are called apostles, and the pastor is the senior apostle. And then they have prophets serving in different parts of the ministry. They are all being called prophets. And I said, that's okay, that's their way of doing. To me, I believe prophets, and I know, and prophets, we can have prophets today, but apostles were elected 12 people, elected by Jesus himself, who were eyewitnesses to Jesus. They were working alongside with Jesus. They saw Jesus. There's no apostles after Jesus. You can serve in that kind of capacity by planting churches, but you can't be apostle in the same meaning that these first apostles were. Now, prophets, we need prophetic gifts working in our churches more. I said, I don't say nothing about your giving. That's your business. You give wherever you want. But I am saying that calling you a prophet after you have given $1,000 for that church, that's a little different to me. I think it's foolishness. They don't even know you. But after giving $1,000 for that check, they are willing to call you a prophet. You've been acting in prophetic spirit. How in the world they know it? It was just a giving, a gift from her heart, and I know she meant well. Well, here's my point. I start thinking by preaching twice every Sunday, just about every Sunday morning, and there are other teachers in the church, in the Sunday school, and this younger lady was attending Sunday school, that what kind of shepherd I am? Am I giving a clear voice what shepherds ought to be doing? If somebody says a couple of hours after Sunday morning worship service can let herself so weirdly wrong am I doing good job? Am I doing good job as a shepherd? So I'm preaching the word, guiding people as shepherds too, so that they don't go wrong, or they don't buy into something that is very, very weird and wrong. So this is what we ought to be doing as a guiders or shepherds. Now, the Bible says that we need to recognize Jesus as our good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. We are to recognize Jesus is the good shepherd. But we must hear his voice. And when we are shepherding and serving others, we are to be shepherding through him, by following him and serving him. And that's the only right way to be shepherding and serving others, that we are doing through Jesus and by Jesus. Are we good shepherds in this very, very weird word? Jesus is the gate. He's the gate in the analogy that he's given, he uses, to say that he is creating a boundary of protection, a boundary of protection. And it is Jesus who provides access to safety in your life and in the life of the church and in the life of God's kingdom. It is Jesus who is doing that as a good shepherd. It is Jesus whose voice we need to hear. It is Jesus whose words we need to follow, not to go wrong in this world. How Jesus does that? Bible says he lays down his life, serving as a door to the sheepfold. He has already done it on the cross of Calvary. He has done all he can to to protect you and to secure you and to save you and to love you and to care for you. And secondly, as our shepherd, Jesus gives us abundant life. I think we all would like to have abundant life. As a matter of fact, sometimes I believe we are running off to abundant life pretty hard. Sure we do. What is abundant? The origin of this word abundant or abundant life come from the Bible, actually from these very verses we are dealing with this morning. John 10:10. Remember in the verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Abundant life refers to life in its abounding fullness. As a matter of fact, Bible using some other translation, fullness. Up to full extent of fullness, full life. Full life of joy and strength and spirit for your soul and for your body and for your mental well-being. This is what abundant life means. It is life with Jesus Christ. It is living in His presence, hearing His voice, following His word, enjoying His presence. Sometimes when I am about to start praying for something and I feel that I need to do it unwillingly. Don't tell this to anybody that your preacher pray unwillingly sometimes. Then I talk to myself, what's wrong with you? You are about to go into the presence of Jesus Christ and you are doing it unwillingly? Come on, brother. That's your greatest opportunity in this world, that you can spend time with Jesus, with the shepherd of your soul, who wants to provide you abundant life, abundantly, the fullest. By giving us abundant life, Jesus, this means that it is finding nourishment and safety through Jesus Himself. Aren't we happy for that? During these insecure times, my goodness sake. I was watching news last night and my heart was broken. I thought, church, we ought to pray more for our leaders and everybody. Because we are a little bit like that way, that, well, if he's not my lady or if he's not my woman, you know, I don't care, no. Church, Christian believe, we are to pray for all the leaders because of their office. Whether we like this and that about them. By the way, this good shepherd knows you and me. He knows us very well. Jesus does not lead a generic flock. He calls his own sheep by name, emphasizing a personal relationship with you. Your name is not accident, whether you like your name or not. Your name is important to Jesus. It's well known to him. He likes your name. Your name is recognized in heaven and on earth. By the way, a few years back, I was visiting an office for official matter. And as you always do, need to introduce your ID if you do something, which I did. Now, this lady asked my name first, and I said, my name is Timo. And then the last name is so-and-so. So, and then I saw my ID, and of course, officially, it's Timothy. So, she got stuck with the Timo name, so she started working on it. What kind of name is Timo? What name is Timo? And she went back and forth, playing with my name. I said, well, I don't know, is it something so special? Well, it's special to me, it's my name. I go by Timo, officially it's Timothy. But anyway, I said, that's my name. That's my name. I go by that name. And I said, well, if it's difficult, you know, write first Tim and then add one more O, you got it. Then if you believe it's too short, then use the full name, madam. I want to pull her out from that, you know, was fussing over somebody's name. Come on. I thought she had something else to do. But anyway, then I said, ma'am, what is your name? She said, my name is Debbie. Debbie. I said, that's a beautiful name. Debbie is a beautiful name. She said, well, I'm actually Deborah. I think she said Deborah Crystal. I said, well, that is a very nice name. I'm a preacher, so that's a biblical name. You have a biblical name, madam. Deborah, that's a strong name. Well, I don't know about that. Then we went back to working on my papers. Sometimes it helps when you remove the conversation about you to somebody else. So we're done with this conversation about names. Let's move on with it. Thirdly, but lastly, she followed the shepherd. She followed the shepherd. You follow Jesus because you have learned to know him as your shepherd. The sheep follow him because they trust his voice. You know, my friend, if there's anybody you can trust in, it is Jesus. It is him you can trust in. In a world of confusing voices, this requires discernment to follow Christ's way of life. Are we discerning? Are we practicing discernment? Are we taking time to hear his voice? Or are you anxious to hear everybody else's voice before you go to him? Don't let that happen. Make sure you take time to hear your shepherd's voice. Some of you need to do it very, 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 very much today. You got to hear your shepherd's voice to make it right. And something to take home today, as we try to apply all this huge topic, just a few questions for us to share. How do we hear and recognize Jesus' voice in our daily lives? But we do recognize it. We do. And guess what? The more you spend time with him, the more comfortable you become recognizing Jesus' voice, making a difference from other voices. Or we can ask, in what areas of life do we need to trust in him as a shepherd for security and abundant life? Maybe that your areas are a little different than mine, or they may be exactly the same, whatever they are. But please, take time for the shepherd to recognize where you need him most. Or we can ask one more question. How can we follow the shepherd's voice instead of voices of strangers, distractions, fears, false promises? Please, even in Christian world, there's all kinds of things going on. Guys, we need to be strong these days. We got to be comfortable with the word. We got to build us up. We got to follow the real shepherd. Otherwise, we get lost. Because Jesus has made himself known. He's not hiding behind bushes. He's not explaining something about, but he is explaining everything to you so you understand. How? By being with you every single day, through his word and by the Holy Spirit, and through your Christian community who loves you and cares for you. Let us pray before we do something else. Lord Jesus, I just feel that we want to really surrender our hearts and lives to you as we are considering all these words about you being our shepherd. Jesus, Lord, we truly, truly, truly want to hear your voice. We want to experience your care and your love. And please protect us not to go wrong, but to be clear about where we are going. Because your will is our will. Because your will is your Father's will. In your name we pray. Amen. We continue our time together with the ministry of giving. If the ushers can come forward at this time.